So she starts off as a picture of devotion. She very quickly becomes a picture of distress when she finds that the stone's been rolled away, the body has gone. So what do you think's next? There's no explanation. The guys can't even be there. She's left completely on her own. She's in free fall. What's the next D, you think? Despair. Is this not a picture of despair? They say a picture is better than 1,000 words. And what do we have here? The disciples went back to their homes. Verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Is that not just a heartbreaking picture? Mary is a broken-hearted woman. She is despairing. She doesn't know what to do. Her friends, the ones she trusted, Mary, Peter and John, can't do anything. Jesus, he's been taken from her so cruelly. You know, it was just the sham of the trial, the horror of the crucifixion. And now the body is gone. She can't even do what she wanted to do for him. She is a broken-hearted woman standing there sobbing by the tomb. She is the only person who shed tears at the tomb of Jesus. Do you know that? And she is broken-hearted in despair. But the amazing thing, and I don't want to dwell on this bit in case I have you all reaching for your hankies, that's not the idea. Because the sermon's not supposed to be kind of gloomy. You're thinking, oh, this is getting worse. She started off as devotion, she's distressed, she's in despair. Where's the light going to come from? No. Because the amazing thing is that Mary, at her lowest point, was closer to a transforming encounter with Jesus Christ than she could ever imagine. And as I was thinking about this, I tried to come up with some kind of phrase that would maybe stick in your mind. And I don't know if this will do it, but try this one. In the mysterious geometry of the grace of God, it's often when we're at our lowest that Christ is nearest to us. In the mysterious geometry of the grace of God, it's often when we're at our lowest that Christ is nearest to us. How do I know that? I know that because Psalm 34:18 says that the Lord is near to who? To the brokenhearted. Is that the way you feel just now? Do you feel that, you know, everything has fallen apart? You have no hope. Well, Psalm 34:18 says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And this story tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt that Mary at her lowest point was actually much closer to Jesus than she ever imagined. I believe at this moment in Mary's experience, which I think was probably the lowest. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think this must have been worse to Mary than the seven devils. At the time of the seven devils, she'd never known Jesus. But then to be delivered, to experience the light of his love and his grace and his power and his presence, and then for that all to be snatched away with no hope, that must have been worse to her. And yet, Jesus was closer than she could ever, ever imagine. I believe he was invisibly present at this moment, watching her crying, just standing there. She didn't know he was there. So let's go on. That was Mary as a picture of despair. She's just about to become a picture of, this is where it gets great, delight. The rest is all an introduction, so the sermon just starts now. Okay, this is the bit you've all been waiting for. She becomes a picture of delight through a transforming encounter with Jesus Christ. So let's carry on with this. She's there at the tomb, and I think I tried to identify four kind of dimensions of this transforming experience, and here are the four for you. The first is she has a new experience of Jesus, The experience, first of all, is born out of her darkest moment, as I've said. She was really at her lowest point here, and yet it was in that situation that Jesus revealed himself to her in a new way. So don't despair. Psalm 34:18, go and look that up. Memorize it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You feel brokenhearted, Jesus could be nearer to you than you ever, ever imagine. So her new experience of Jesus came from her darkest moment. But her new experience of Jesus, I love this, verse 12 says, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Her new experience of Jesus involved the ministry of angels. Peter and John had gone, so the Lord sent two angels. Isn't that great? Peter and John were useless. So the Lord sent two angels. Angels are an interesting subject. I don't want to digress here. Whatever you do, don't do an internet search for angels. You'll get all kinds of weird tripe. But what the Bible says is, and it's a kind of an interesting kind of little summary of what angels do. It's in Hebrews 1:14. I think it's 14. It says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God, in brackets, to minister to those who are receiving his salvation. So that's the main function of angels. I know there are angels like the seraphim and things that we're singing about that worship God. That's their main function. But there are angels whose main function is to minister to those who are receiving God's salvation. Is that you? Are you one who has believed in Jesus? You're receiving the benefits of it. Well, the angels are there to minister to you, or they're here to minister to Mary. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So these two angels speak to her. They obviously didn't freak her out. And Mark's gospel talks about a young man. So I think the angels probably just looked like nice young men in white clothing, and they were sitting there. They say to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And why did they ask her that? Is that really cruel? "Woman, why are you crying? You tell us." No, it wasn't like that. Of course not. There are lots of reasons you can ask questions. You can ask questions to imply the answer. You can ask questions to get information. Or you can ask questions because you know what the answer is. It's like, you've got the picture of angels, nice young men, white t-shirts, and so on, all the rest. Well, here's another part of the picture I imagine. I visualize the angels with a slight kind of sort of half smile, twinkle in their eye. They're saying to Mary, "Mary, why are you crying? Woman, why are you crying?" Have you ever been to pantomime? You know, when the main character is saying, "Where is, you know, so-and-so?" And all the kids in the front row say, "He's behind you. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?" And there's this huge thing standing right behind you. "I can't see him." I sometimes visualize the angels like that. They're kind of looking slightly past her, and they're just itching to say, "He's behind you." Isn't that a wonderful picture? The ministry of angels here. They say, "Woman, why are you crying?" They say, "Well, they have taken, now it's not the Lord, it's my Lord. It's my Lord. They've taken him away. And I don't know where they have put him." And this said, she turned around. Why did she turn around? I think it's because the angels are kind of maybe looking slightly past her. "He's behind you." She turned around, and there's a figure standing there. So her new experience of Jesus came from her darkest moment, involved the ministry of angels. It also involved her inability to recognize Jesus.